Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright. I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button, and give us a like. Well, today we have got a new guest on our show, and we have taken care of all the technicals, and now we are ready to dive into the word, to the message that you guys are dying to hear. So, without further ado, Maureen Miller, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad I'm here, and technology hopefully will work well for us today.
Amen. 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 So, Maureen, here's what I would like you to do. I want you to start off by talking to us about, tell us about your story. How has God influenced and shaped your journey?
Yeah, I'm always so thankful to be able to reflect upon the stones of remembrance in our lives. And I am blessed to be one who was raised in a Christian home. I don't take that for granted, especially now as I'm older and see so many broken families. But my parents were godly people. They were mission-minded. They loved Jesus. They had my sister and I in church from a very young age, and just really filled our home with the things of Christ, just songs and stories and just lots and lots of love. The spilling out of love that was Christ's love within them spilling out onto us. But we also got to really watch them love others. And so that was just a beautiful upbringing. And then along life's way, just learning to truly understand what it means to delight in the Lord. And He gives us the desires of our hearts to understand that sometimes it's not so much we pray those gimme, gimme God prayers and He gives us what we think we want, but He actually plants the seeds of His desires in our hearts when we delight in Him, spending time in His presence, and His dreams for us become our dreams for us. And I think that's really how Jeremiah 29:11 really works itself out, as well as Romans 8:28. So I have just been blessed to be a Christian from a very early age, but with some bumps along the way, sin issues that I struggled with that took me down a wrong path for a season. But even that, I can look back and see how God worked it together for purpose and gave me a greater empathy for others that I might not otherwise really understand. So I'm thankful.
Amen. Amen. So Maureen, here's what I would like you to do. First of all, for those of you that do not know Maureen, if you want to check out her website, go to www.MaureenMillerAuthor.com. If you're watching the show, you can see it on the screen. MaureenMillerAuthor.com. Just check out her website and you'll learn more about her. So Maureen, first of all, now that we've kind of gotten into the story a little bit, and you give us a little bit of that quick background, talk to us about your ministry. What is going on now? And, you know, tell us about maybe the direction that God is leading you at this day, during this time period of your life, this season, I should say.
Okay. I'll give a little background to my ministry. My ministry really has to do, as a writer and a speaker, I desire to listen to and then translate God's messages in words, both in the written and in the spoken word. And He called me to this a long time ago, first in the form of being an educator. So I taught school for a number of years and just loved teaching children and young women in particular as time went by. And then He's, over the last probably two decades, He's helped me really take ownership of the job of being a Christian writer and speaker. And so my ministry at my website that you just shared, it's called Windows and Wallflowers. And it really has to do with this idea that many of us, me included, will feel like we're either looking out of a window or oftentimes looking into a window onto life going on. And we feel like we're on the outside looking in or on the inside looking out. And we just don't feel like we belong. And the wallflower portion of that tag has to do with the symbolism of wallflower, which is persevering through adversity. And so it's that idea that many of us might feel like we're at a window looking in and don't belong, but we all have a story to tell, a way that we have seen God work in our lives to help us persevere, to blossom, even in adversity. And so my hope is really to help people look, keep their eyes and ears open to God's created world and see and hear him, his extraordinary character and the ordinary things of life, so that we can truly kind of bring to life what Romans 1 tells us, that the divine nature of God is expressed in his creation. And so if we just look around, we listen and see, we can see him everywhere. And in so doing, we take that and we go into the world and we do what he's called us to do, which is to fulfill the Great Commission. And so I'm a writer. I'm a blogger. I've also published a solo book. My debut novel came out a year ago. It's called Gideon's Book. And I also have been included in several 30 collaboratives where I'm team writing with others to fulfill a purpose under a common theme. And so I've just been thrilled to be writing articles and essays and even some been part of some books over the years.
Amen.
But what he's taking me now is just to really ask what's next. And I don't know if we'll get into this today much about the themes of Gideon's book, but really looking to see how he might want to take Gideon's book and have a standalone novel that kind of takes some of the minor characters of that book and continues to tell their stories. My stories, I have a heart for really having people understand issues of morality from a Christian worldview. And I believe there's power in story when we can take issues of morality according to a biblical worldview and tell them in a story. Whether people agree with us or not, they often will get captivated by the story and perhaps come to look at that issue or those issues in a different way. And that's my desire, to translate those biblical worldview issues in storytelling.
Amen. Amen. So I have a question. I'm looking at, pulled up, and I remember, I think I did this the last time we recorded. Obviously, the recording decided for some reason or another not to to work for us at that moment. But which book, if I'm sitting here looking, which book would you like to, you know, obviously tell our audience the most about right now?
Well, it would be this one. It's Gideon's book.
Gideon's book, a novel.
Yes, this is my solo book. This is my book baby that just turned one a few weeks ago. And it is a story of my heart. It truly is. It's a fiction, but it is the weaving of several true stories.
Amen. So give us a little bit of a flavor of that book. Talk to us give us something that's in the book that kind of helps the audience understand exactly what's written in there. Maybe a little, couple of pages of it, or what's going on in one of the chapters that you really want to highlight.
Yeah. Well, it's a story that takes readers on a journey. A Gideon Bible is discovered in a hotel bedside table by a man whose name is Gideon. He goes by Dion, and he is kind of an allegorical figure to represent Gideon of Judges 6, you know, the least of the least of the least. Called to do a mighty work for God, and really questions himself and questions God about that. And so this Gideon also questions God's call on his life, but he finds this Bible and the Bible holds clues. And so he is called to find out who left the clues and why. And so it's a time slip. What that means is it goes from one period of time to another period of time, and it kind of goes back and forth. So it goes from 2016 back to 1969, the year of my birth. And so I had fun kind of researching and learning about the era in which I lived and more about the times, 1969, the late 60s. And so it goes back and forth. There's a journalist in 2016 named Cassie, and she's commissioned to write a friend's parents' memoir. And that takes her, as she interviews them, back to 1969 and to the things that led to this Bible being left with clues. And so readers, I want to honor Gideon's International, the men and women who have worked for years to place Bibles in hotels and schools and in hospitals and in the military and so on, to really honor them and their work to spread the gospel worldwide over many years. But my book also touches on issues of the sanctity of human life, according to Psalm 139, where the Bible says that God knit us together in our mother's womb, and we're wonderfully and fearfully made. It also touches on the beauty of adoption and also sheds light on the reality, the harsh reality of racial bias that still remains in our society. But it really is a book to pay tribute to birth moms. I believe birth mothers are the heroes among us, and many go without even being noticed. They make these choices despite difficult circumstances to carry babies to term and in place with loving, waiting families. And that's really part of my personal story as well.
Amen. So I found the title of it kind of funny, Gideon's Book, a novel. And I was like, wow. So that is, you know, I was looking at here, some of your other stuff. You got a couple of Christmas books. You got Tis the Season and Renewed Christmas Blessings. Looks like you've been a busy girl. So
yes, I am. Those are collaborative. So I did not oversee those books, but I was honored to participate with a story or a poem or two in those books.
Yes, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yes. So, yeah. Do you also have, it looks like you might have some other stuff here as well that I'm looking at, but, what about all God's creatures? Daily devotions for animal lovers.
Yes. Oh, it's my favorite. It's my most fun writing of the year. So I'm contracted with Guideposts, and I get to write usually 6 to 8 devotions a year for their annual devotional, All God's Creatures. It comes out. It's one of those books that basically works its way January 1st through December 31st. And it's all obviously about animals. So I get to watch and listen to the created world around me and find ways to write devotions that point to God's extraordinary character in these animals. So I've been writing for them. I think this year marks maybe 6 years that I've been writing for them. And again, it's just, they're short devotions. You can really pick up the book at any time and just start wherever, but it does. It's a January 1st through December 31st kind of devotional that comes out annually. So much fun.
Amen. Amen. And yeah, I saw that you have a blog that you participate with. Talk to us a little bit about the blog.
Yeah. So the blog is, I mentioned a few minutes ago, just about the title is Windows and Wallflowers. And there I usually blog twice a month, every other Wednesday, and then I do a newsletter. I like to highlight other authors' work as well as sometimes sharing other people's work, other blogs and articles that people have written. I'm really just have a heart of an encourager. I love to encourage others in their journey. And so I tell true stories most of the time. Every now and then there'll be a biblical fiction piece that I'll craft for my blog, but I write twice a month. And there you can learn about God's extraordinary character discovered in the ordinary of life. And that's what I love to write about.
So I'm laughing on one of these. And it says missing something with a big question mark. And it has a box of uncooked lasagna.
Yeah, that's story I tell you.
Huh. Well, so it is definitely missing, you know, it's missing in key ingredients. It hasn't been cooked. It's just sitting there in a box. So I was thinking, wonder what that's about.
Yeah. It's funny because you can use photography as a teaser, but that's exactly what that is about. It's a true story. It happened a number of years ago. I went to take a meal to dear friend, elderly friends, and there'd been one of them had surgery. And so I offered to bring them a meal, and they were vegetarian. So I thought, I'll make vegetarian lasagna. And we get there and they invite my daughter, who was little at the time, and myself to join them for dinner. And we dig in, and I'm noticing that as they're plopping this supposed to be veggie lasagna on the plates, it's just kind of, you know, falling flat. And lo and behold, everything in there was there except the lasagna. So it was basically ratatouille. But it makes for a great story, and it really was a fun moment. They laughed and laughed. They're in heaven now, but we laughed about that for a long time.
That's funny. Yeah. That's great.
thank you.
Oh, mercy. So, yeah, I was like, I wonder what that one is about. That just had my curiosity.
Amen. Missing the lasagna.
Amen. So, obviously, you like to express, you know, God's glory through writing. And
seems like you've learned to connect with a lot of people. You know, if there's, look, we have a world out there right now that's living in a perpetual state of confusion, truly. And the reason is because God is not at the center of their lives. You know, if you've got a message for somebody right now that maybe has at least acknowledged God at some point in Jesus Christ, but they're just living in a kind of a state of like confusion, not sure, really doubting faith or just doubting life in general, you know, what would be, you're an encourager. What would be a message that you would have for that person right now?
I relate to what you just described. It's part of my windows and wallflowers analogy because many, many years ago, I was living in such a way that I wasn't choosing God's best. I was choosing some things that were taking me away from his best for me. And we know God doesn't leave us, but we can separate ourselves from him. And I began to look and see myself as one always on the outside of a window looking inward. And I just never felt like I fit in. I knew I'd accepted Jesus as a child. I'd walked with him. I knew I wasn't perfect, but I just felt so far and so separated. And one day, as I would go to this image in my mind over and over again of standing at a window, feeling again that pain of being on the outside looking in and just kind of living that way. And one day I was kind of at my wit's end and I'd begun to implement something my mom had taught me from a very young age, which was we need to start each morning with the Lord. And I had begun to get up in the morning and just sit in a chair quietly with him with my journal and my Bible. And this one particular morning, it was in January, early 1990s, many years ago now, I heard the Lord whisper to my heart, "Return to the window." And I really just didn't understand what he meant by that because that was such a place of pain. But as I obeyed and I returned to that image in my mind, for the very first time, as I stood there looking in and feeling that sense of isolation, I heard Jesus say, "Now turn around." And it was in turning around from the window, it's such a simple step. I just did a 180. But what I saw when I turned around was a picture of freedom. And I heard Jesus say, "You are free in me. And I have called you to the abundant life. Eyes on me, not on others, to tell you of your worth. Walk with me, and I will help you set others free." And so what I would encourage others who are walking perhaps in this dark age, we live in a dark age, and we know that there's going to be trials. The Bible is very clear about that. But thankfully, with Jesus, we know the end of the story. So we know that we can be courageous. But in those moments of chaos, I would, one, ask them to really reflect on their lives. What are some areas maybe of their life that they are not fully committed to the Lord? What are some hangups, some places where perhaps they've stepped out on their own? Check yourself and ask the Lord to reveal those to you. Then get your heart right with him. And keep your eyes on him. Peter did it. His example is perfect in the New Testament where he steps out in love for his Savior on the water, but then he gets his eyes on the waves and he begins to drown. And we know that the only way we can stay on top, keeping from drowning in this dark age, is if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we walk with him through the storm, and surround yourself with other godly people who share your values, share your heart for Jesus, because I find so much courage in knowing other people who believe like me, who have been journeying with Jesus even much longer than me, and allowing them and their words to encourage me as well.
Amen. You know, one of the analogy type, allegory type pictures I like to give people is that we have to deal with our sin,
yes.
but it's like garbage. You have to deal with the garbage, but eventually when it gets full and when it's been dealt with, you tie the bag up and you got to throw it away and get rid of it. And that's exactly what you have to do with sin. You have to deal with it, but then eventually you got to bag it up and you got to toss it away. One little thing you can do is when we have sin that is lingering over us is that we can take a piece of paper, write it out, pray, give it to the Lord. And once he's freed you from that, take it out, put it in a can or a bonfire, light it up and burn it. And it is gone forever.
That's right.
That's right.
The Bible tells us that our sin, he casts it into the sea of forgetfulness. And we're Amen. The ones that remind him of it so often. We go yep. over it and over it, but he has thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness. And that's what we have to do too.
Amen. Amen. So I love the way you're describing just freedom and repentance. A big part of repentance is not just confessing sin, but it is turning away from that sin and walking in a different direction and going in the direction that God is leading you to walk. That's the key, because he will bring you to your calling once that's been dealt with. So another thing, and you've got all kinds of fun stuff here on your website. I mean, I was looking at just with some of these books and all the good stuff, you know, you tend to like to really write devotional type styles. I mean, yes. you have a style of writing devotionals. So we have about 5 minutes left. Could you maybe share just real quickly one of those devotionals with us?
Oh, I'd be happy to share a devotional with you. Is there a particular topic you would like me to do?
You know what? You pick. You're the, I feel like you'll pick the right one. The Lord's
okay,
going to lead
will.
You to the right one.
I will share a devotion with you that is right here on my computer. Imagine Perfect. That.
Hopefully that computer is staying locked and loaded for you.
Yes, it is. It's very much it's my office on, I can take it wherever I go. And it's wonderful to be able to work from anywhere that God has me. So I'm going to share a devotion. Actually, you know what? I think I can't share this devotion with you because it hasn't come out yet.
Okay.
Only because I'm not allowed to share devotions from guideposts that are under they're it's copyrighted.
So it has to be out first.
It has to be out first.
That's fine.
So give me one second.
And Maureen, what I'll do is I'll cut this time out. I'll edit
okay,
this
perfect.
Out while we're waiting.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, I found one that's already published, so I can do this one. Okay, let's do. Okay, I'm going to share a devotion with you because we were talking about just this idea of people maybe feeling like they're in a chaotic world, feeling like they we live in a dark place, but we know that God is our sanctuary. We know that Jesus is our refuge. And I love this devotion. This was true. This happened a number of years ago. This is in All God's Creatures, and they're a collaborative for 2026. It's called A Source of Safety. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Psalm 91:15.
Amen.
The ping interrupted my thoughts and I checked my phone to see who texted. It was Beth, a friend and fellow animal lover. She'd sent a video perking my curiosity. I opened it, then hit play and watched, listening to her explain. Yesterday, I rescued a baby chipmunk from my cat. Scared to death, the little guy scampered up my leg to finally nestle in my hair. I let him hang out there until he calmed down, then set him free. Holding the phone selfie style, Beth was able to record the top of her head, her hair twisted in a bun. As she tilted to one side, there he was. Only his fuzzy, striped noggin showed, the rest of his body completely enveloped in Beth's brown tresses. I watched the video several times as tears welled. I could hardly believe the timeliness of this message as I thought, as though a whisper was just for me. After all, it had been a difficult season. Several we knew were struggling maritally. Others, close family and friends, had suffered losses, a miscarriage for one young couple, and the passing of a loved one for another. I have to admit, occasionally I questioned God's presence in the pain and heartache. I sometimes battled fear, asking, "Okay, what's next, God?" My friend's experience spoke to my heart, a reminder our Creator cares for the tiniest of creatures when they're scared, how much more He cares for me. The giver of good gifts, God blesses us with friends, those with whom we can share, who will carry our burdens and point us to truth. Yes, those who will hide us in their embrace, speak comfort, and help us feel secure. As I dialed her number, I brushed away tears. And before Beth answered, even before her simple hello, I knew, like the chipmunk, I, with her, was safe. And the walk of faith is, who is a friend with whom you feel safe? More, are you the sort of friend for another? And I can just say, I love to be that for folks. I love to be that friend. And I just delight in knowing that we can, with Jesus's help, be there for others to comfort them.
Amen. Amen. And so I hope you guys are listening to this word of encouragement and taking this in. And so, Maureen, I want to thank you for sharing that and sharing all the stuff you have today. Guys, don't hesitate. Stop what you're doing unless you're driving. Wait till you pull and wait till you get to your flight destination and parked. But get on her website again, MaureenMillerAuthor.com. Check out her book. She's got lots of great stuff. She's got a blog you can get involved with. You can actually sign up for news and updates from her. You know, get on her website, check it out, and get connected to her right now. I'm going to say this right here, right now, that I loved your devotional style. I think that, you know, a lot of people just need, especially when they're in a season of tough things going on, sometimes they just need a season of encouragement. And somebody who has a devotional style of writing can be really encouraging. And so I challenge you guys that if you're in one of those seasons to definitely check this out. She's got some great stuff. And so, Maureen, again, I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to thank everybody for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast and listening today. If you are watching us on Jesus Said TV, great. If you're not, hey, go to JesusSaid.tv. Check us out, because guess what? We have got all kinds of new stuff coming. More authors are coming on, more people with ministries. We are starting to add more and more programming. So check us out on JesusSaid.tv. And definitely pick up Maureen's book, Gideon's Book. That's her, that's kind of her bread and butter right now. Gideon's Book, a novel by Maureen Miller. Also, you can go check out my website at tswrightspeaks.com. You're interested in discipleship. We're going to have some great things coming up. We're going to have an entire program on tuvu.com, as well as you're going to be able to catch us with our discipleship plan called the God Center Concept Academy, which will also, we will have a show airing that will be related to this, that will be on the Good View Network, as we've just signed a contract with them, and we will be starting with that very, very soon. Well, we want to thank you again for being a part of this. We so appreciate you guys and your support. Maureen, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. And this
recording actually went great. So we are going to be able to air this. This is awesome. Definitely going to have you back on and have you do maybe a devotional for us. We would love to put that on the show. Anyway, without further ado, we are out of time. So now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.